against us or against someone, and we understand them to be that. But it's a lot much. It's much bigger than that. Whole debt issues and things that expectations and missed opportunities. And anyway, we'll get into that. What the paper's going to be for, anything that comes to your mind, you think about when I'm talking or when we take our breaks, you just write on it, okay? And at the end, it'll help us, because in so many ways we are spirit, soul, and body, and so when we can have our body act out what our spirit and our soul is saying, then we can all come into agreement. So we're going to give this all back to God, so that it is taken from us by Him. And this is my real belief, is that you will go home empty, light. This is what He said to me, and it's audacious in its thought, although it's totally biblical. That by the grace of God, I want to enter into 2015 with God not owing me anything, and me not owing God anything. Now, that may sound like an interesting thought, because our relationship usually is a lot based on who He is, what He's doing, who we are, what we've done. But truly, a sonship and forgiveness is totally based on that, because of Jesus Christ, He owes us nothing and we owe Him nothing. We are absolutely right in Him. And there, from there, we continually live our days. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Here's a cool thing. I think this is in front of us. So I got to church tonight, and James came up to me. He said, I got a Christmas present for you. I got a present for you. And he hands me this. And I go, what is this? He says, this will start any locomotive that you can find in the United States. This is a key that turns on locomotives. I thought, whoa. I mean, it's just a piece of plastic. And I thought, God forbid I ever find a locomotive and I can turn the thing on. I wouldn't know what to do. But I took that as a picture, a prophetic sign. And then Gaynor came to me right after that while we started worship. And she said that while in worship Sunday, right, that she began to see this beautiful lotus blossom opening up, just in all the beauty of that lotus blossom carries, plus a supernatural splendor. And she asked, Lord, what are you saying? And He said, this is a spiritual awakening, spiritual revelation. It's a key that I'm giving. And so it's a revelatory key that's going to open us to see, to be surprised, to be blessed. So you couple a beautiful spiritual revelatory gift like a lotus with a locomotive. Yeah, may it be, Lord. That sounds like the sound of a mighty rushing wind that filled the whole house they were sitting. So we receive that. Amen? Okay, so turn with me to Matthew 18. I won't teach very long, but I believe for our benefit, I want you to see that what I'm saying, they're really very biblical truths, but not enjoyed. Because in many cases, we still live in such a mindset of works and rewards and debts and law that we aren't aware that we're in an entirely new dispensation, that we can begin again and begin again and again. Every day is a new creation. Every day is a brand new day. So here we are, and this is the story of the parable of the unforgiving servant, verse 21, Matthew 18. Peter came to Him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Let's just call that $10 million for us. It would be that much. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Let's call that $100,000. It's not even that much. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and saying, "Pay me what you owe." And so his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me. I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that what he had done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that he had been done. Then his master, after he had called him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you also have had compassion on your fellow servants, just as I had pity on you?" And the master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, the revelation that really came to me, because the way the Father was wanting to minister to me, was that this unforgiving debtor, really his real problem was he didn't know he was forgiven. Because he didn't know he was forgiven, he couldn't forgive. He couldn't extend forgiveness, because he really probably came out of that meeting going, "Wow, I don't know how that happened, but I just got a break." You know what I'm saying? He really just got free. Free from an impending sentence of condemnation that was going to include his whole entire family. He just got free. And he didn't understand that he'd really been completely, entirely forgiven. Because if he had, the gratitude, the love, the lightness would have made it almost impossible for him to go find somebody at that moment. To go and find. It didn't say he chanced upon, he happened to meet. He went and found somebody owed him about $10,000 and grabbed him at the throat. He saw what forgiveness for him meant was that he had been given another opportunity and now he was going to make the most of it and try to get ahead. And he didn't know that he had been forgiven. So whenever I read in the scripture now, I see when I am falling short of his glory, it's not because I'm not trying or that I'm not able to do. It's usually because I'm not receiving what Jesus has done for me and I don't discern it. So in your messy paper, as you start to think and talk out loud, you know, one of the things, it is true that we must forgive to be forgiven, right? But I also would say that we must be forgiven to forgive. If we love because we're first loved, then I think we forgive because we're first forgiven. Now, we're commanded to love because we don't always want to love, right? So if you feel like, "I think I'm going to stop loving," then you remember, "Oh no, the Lord said I am to love. I'm to walk in love." And what is the definition of love? That I'm suffering long and I'm being kind. So it's not a great feeling. It's really a making room for people feeling. But at the same time, when I am experiencing the love of God, then love comes easy, right? Right? So when love is flooding me, then love is flowing out of me. When love is having a hard time flowing out of me, you go back and search. You're probably not in an aware, enjoying state of love. And we are supposed to enjoy love. So the same is true when forgiveness is just not flooding into the situation in life, because I've gotten tight. Now, here's how we get tight. And I put this in the book on forgiveness and we elaborated it in the Saved Your Seat. But here's what happens for me. You know, we have grace. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. And then we talk about as believers in the New Testament that we're often kind of moving out of grace and into law and from faith into works. And before you know it, Christ is not profiting us, and we are frustrating grace, which means we're putting it aside and putting it as a non-important part of our place in union and works. And we just get into, from a promise, it becomes a debt. Here, it can happen 100 ways. Let's talk about money, because money is something we all have become aware of. I don't know about you, but many times throughout the year, every year, I will find myself facing a bill that I have to pay off. It's $5,000, $10,000. Maybe I'll combine them all, it's $30,000. And I'll go into prayer and I'll ask God for help. You know, and I know that you supply all my need according to your riches and glory. So I know that I have biblical basis to ask for help. I know that I'm a tither and you open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing until there's not enough room to receive. And so I know that there's more to receive than I'm receiving. And so I'll sincerely, when I've discovered the place that I need, I'll come to God and ask for his help. And I come with faith, believing. And so then I pray. And now, because money often is a basis of, you know, there's times connected to them. Say now there comes the time, and the money does not come beyond. It does not come supernaturally. It does not come from another source. And so what I do is, we shared the other day, I go and I say to Peter, "How much money do you have?" And he says, "Well, I have $5,000. I said, "Okay, give it to me because I have to pay Paul." And so I rob Peter and pay Paul. And I fandango and I move things around, right? Yeah. No, you don't? Sorry. Okay, I'll talk to our government then. We all know how to do it, right? We have to do it. You have to do it in so many ways because we're in a squirrely setting. I pray to God that none of us will have to do it, and there'll be a day that we can really owe no man anything but love. And you won't have to, you know, rescue a child or respond to a leaky roof or, you know, fix a car that you weren't prepared to break. And you won't be put into a position that you have to access money that you're going to have to pay for sooner than later, but you get the money now, right? Okay, but so let's say, and this happens more times, the money doesn't come. So I find a way, Peter, pay Paul. And so now I'm going to start the next month. And I've got new things coming because it compounds the problem. So now I'm going to the Lord, and this is what I do. I do, and I don't try to do it, but I do it, and I think we all do it, is that I go to the Father and say, okay, I don't really say this because I know God is good and he's done nothing wrong, but I basically say, let's just take that debt there, that five, and I'm going to put it into this, I'm going to refinance it into this next promise. And I'm going to repackage it so that we can believe. I'm going to believe you now for, and maybe it'll be even the same amount, whatever, because it's just following through the year, following through the month. But what happens is I refinance promise like I refinance my house. Okay, now when I've refinanced my house five times. We've lived in our same house for 28 years now. So refinance five times, and most recently for kids in college. And so when you refinance a house, if you've ever done that, usually you tend to take anything else that's hanging around that needs to be paid off, right? So you refinance, you pay off a credit card, you fix the roof, you just bring everything even. So there's no way I can know what's all been in my refinances. But I am sure that I am paying for a tank of gas or two that somehow just got bundled into the debt. And so right now I am in a, you know, monthly paying for a tank of gas because it got packaged into a refinance debt. And so the problem, and you see, we live in debt. Debt is an asset in the world we live in, right? If I do a service for you, I'm a contractor, I come and I build something for your home, and I gain my material from a supplier, and you gave me a deposit, and we say the job's going to be $10,000, and you gave me $2,500, and I go and I need $5,000 worth of materials, and I'm hoping to make $5,000 in profit from after I pay my labor or so forth. But I go to my supplier and I give them $1,000 and say I'll pay the rest of this when I am paid. They'll say that's a reasonable deal. If I'm building cars and I need steel and I go to China and I say I want X amount of tons of steel and I'm going to buy it from you on credit because when we build we'll take our automobiles, we'll put them on the dealers. The dealers receive the cars on credit so that when the car is sold, then they pay the manufacturer. The manufacturer now goes and pays the supplier. And so that is acceptable finance because it's all built on promise. So when you ask the world to forgive debt today, we can't, because if you were to ever stop that, the entire system collapses. Because you can't, I can't forget this, the car manufacturer cannot go and forgive the dealer's debt, because this debt he owes must come to him in order for him to pay the debt he owes. So it gets very convoluted. That's why when we went into the Great Recession, basically we just kept sliding backwards, and there wasn't really an easy resolution of banks saying, we're just going to release the debts on homes, we're just going to realign ourselves. It just, everybody was trying to rob Peter to pay Paul. But God started talking to me about years ago, and he just, again today, was saying, the problem is, Steve, every time a prayer isn't answered, every time a promise does not unfold the way you anticipated in the most recent scenario of prayer and effort, fasting, whatever you're engaged with God in, and then you have to come to a resolution, God is still true, his word is still true, I believe his promise, I'm not going to deny his word, you invariably often repackage it into another effort. And after a while, you don't know how many efforts back you're in. Do you follow me? That it happens with healing, happens with finance, happens with relationships, happens with ministry, happens with promises. So God began to, I've learned, I give you permission, and I'll show you in a minute that in the Bible, God invites us. That one of the biggest places that I need to make sure I keep a no-debt relation is that God does not owe me anything. Now, if you go with me over to Luke 15, I want to show you this story that I believe was the story of invitation, so we would not go, perpetuate, you owe me. There's probably nothing uglier in a believer than you owe me, God. It looks like bitterness. It looks like anger. It looks like criticism, critique, cynicism. It steals away your joy and your peace. And yet it is so subtle, and it happens with ease. Like I said, God gives me a promise. The promise releases me into hope and faith. I begin a journey of grace. Somewhere along the line, I discover things that I ought to practice so the promise could be perfected. I go from a promise to it's based on something that I'm doing, my works, I begin to apply myself. After a while, I'm beginning to try to make sacrifice. And before you know it, this promise isn't a gift. It's something that God owes me. It's a debt. Has that ever happened to anybody? Please nod with you. Just help me up, because I don't want to talk to you about things that aren't bothering you. I really believe this is a lifting. So here we go. Luke 15, Jesus tells a story. A certain man, verse 11, had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and journeyed into a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed his swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against you, heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring the best robe out and put it on him, and put the ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. and they began to be merry. Now the older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked, What are these things? What these things meant? And he said to him, your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed a fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Love this line. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours comes, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you kill the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you have are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now, the elder brother, we won't even talk about the prodigal, because it's more obvious, and you get the picture, and he had a lot of issues that he had to learn. He tried to find love outside of the father's house through rebellion, and the elder brother tried to find love inside of his father's house through serving. And God does not call us to be rebellious or religious. He wants us in relationship. And he understands that for us to be in relationship, we will have to expend some of our own efforts of controlling relationship and find that we cannot control relationship, and that we can only receive relationship. And it's actually, God, our Father, is very excited about having relationship. So the elder brother was inside a house, could not enjoy relationship because he was focused on service. And the more he was focused on service, the more he was expectant that his father would notice it and do something for him. But his father was not going to sow into his servant mind. So he did not acknowledge his service as being something worthy of a goat. The truth was, everything was his. And he was always with his father. He could have accessed the herd if he wanted. But he didn't know that. So he becomes super angry because to him, the father owed him. Do you understand? The father owed him. You never did anything for me. Now, I believe all of us will experience that. You will feel the prodigal in your life. You will feel the elder brother in your life. And probably the longer you live in God, the more the elder brother will be the guy you know. Because you tend to say, you know what? I know one thing. I'd rather be religious than rebellious. Rebellion hurts really hard and fast and quick. The way of the transgressor is hard. You know, it's just a bad place to be. Consequences come quick. At least in religion, you're in the house. You may have to sort things out, and you may have some rejection issues, but you're safer there, right? Right, right. That's why we're here tonight, not at a rave party, right? You know, it just makes more sense. You know, it's safer here. I'd rather be here. I'd rather be in the house of God. So when it comes time, and this is where we're going to take a moment. What does God owe you? Let me rephrase it, because this is scary when I first learned to do this, because I did not want to disengage faith from promise. But I found that too much of promise had become debt, and God owed me. And my effort to keep the promise alive had become works. And I did not see what was coming as a gift of grace, but as a debt of works, like when you go to work for an employee. Employer. If he didn't pay you after he agreed to pay you, you could do things about that. That's wrong. So we get in this legality. So let's go back to that audacious statement. I think it sounds audacious, although it's so biblical. I want to enter this year without God owing me anything. I don't want to owe him anything. I want to go into this year without owing you anything. And I want to go into this year without me owing you know, you owing me anything. In fact, I would like to be able to enter, cross over and step into 2015 where I owe no one anything but love. You know, love is crowded out of our life because we get so focused on what we're trying to obtain. And warfare, I wrote this out to the champions tonight because it was already percolating. I said, warfare, spiritual warfare, prayer, intercession is probably one of the most, it's subtle in its way of calling your soul into it to the point where by the end of the journey, you can't let it go. And yet the greatest promises that are given to us will be asked to be offered up on an altar like an Isaac. And some of the greatest moments of deliverance have carried past the point of deliverance, like the snake on the pole in the wilderness, carried with Israel into their future, will become an idol that needs to be destroyed. So there's just something about handling things. They just get messy. They just get they get packaged into other boxes, and before you know it, you don't even know where this thing first started. So start thinking about, and we'll take a few moments and we'll turn some music on. Just, I want you to think of four areas. If we had more time, but I'm seeing our time is running from us, I would take us to Hebrews 12, where we talk about failed grace. Grace never fails, but we can disengage from grace and therefore have failure in the grace journey, which is mean we have a missed expectation. You cannot begin anything without a hope. Hope is what carries you into whatever project, to be a teacher, to be a lawyer, to be an attorney, to build a house, to build a business. It's a hope. There's an expectation. Expectations not met and not resolved turn into bitterness. Bitterness is failed expectation. It's seething. You find yourself more happy when you hear bad news of your rivals than you are of good news, because your situation is not that great, so at least somebody else isn't that great. So just, I would talk about bitterness and that freedom. I would talk about James, that some of our prayers are fueled by our fears and our lust, and we're not receiving because we're asking amiss, James 4, and that some of the things, I am so glad God does not keep a record of my unanswered prayers. If Father came to any of us tonight and said, I'd say one thing he will not say to anyone. He would not say, I am so disappointed. I gave you so much. You've done so little. What you have done with what you've done is unacceptable. You say, why would he not say that? Because he knows me in Jesus. He will know me for eternity in Jesus. And what Jesus has done is enough. If he's not enough, then we are in big trouble. Yeah. Right. If this was just the way into the kingdom, but you're on your own once you're inside, that's scary to me. But it seeps into your thinking. You don't even realize it. So we get to a close of a year, we can actually take an inventory and say, wait a minute, what am I feeling has not happened yet that God I believed for? How do I release him from owing me that answered prayer and yet not disengage my faith that he actually spoke that to me, but turn it just to, you don't owe me this answered prayer. You don't owe me that $5,000, $10,000. You don't owe me that healing in my body. I know your word is true, and I know somehow all these things are truth, but I myself want to release you from anywhere these have become debt. Does that make sense? Just start scribbling things like that. Where do I need to release myself? Where am I walking with, you know, this year I'm going to? That's where the resolutions always rise. You know, and thank God, there's great reason for resolution, but many times they're out of, like, sacrifice. I'm going to do more this year so that I can get a better head. I'm going to make myself do what I wasn't able to do last year because I feel bad about what I did this year, so I'm going to make myself do more. That's sacrifice, and it's flesh, and it's going to fail. So where am I stuck with it? What is not acceptable in myself? You know, where do I need to release myself? So God, what is debt? What is me? And then the obvious again was someone else, people, situation. Just we're going to let the music start. We'll take about 10 minutes or five and just really get quiet. The question, Father, what do I feel you owe me? What is incomplete according to what I've heard you say, what I've been expecting? And just start with it. It can be, you may get a word that describes your entire life, or it may take you three sentences to get a sense of a word. That's why this is your messy paper. It's just a manner of putting things down. What I found, and just so you know, what I found is every time I release God from a debt, faith comes back and grace begins to fill the whole story. And before you know it, he's talking about the future, but I'm receiving him again in a whole other way. So you're not going to be like, I'm just so close. I'm so close. I can't let this one go. I just can't. We're almost there. There's nothing like that in God. If you remember the movie Holes by a great children's book, and you remember Harry, what's his name, Henry Winkler, who is the father, obsessed with creating a formula to make tennis shoes not stink, and he spent his entire life in the kitchen with a big bubbling stew, and he's always putting new chemicals and putting the stinky tennis shoe in and pulling it out, and his wife and his children are sitting at the kitchen table just bored, stiff, just like, oh gosh, I can't believe he's obsessed with a pursuit. And when we saw that, Cammy looked at me, this was 10, 15 years ago, the first time we saw that, she said, that's you. You're like this mad scientist, always trying to perfect God's promise formula, and you're always going to, I prayed and I fasted, but that wasn't enough, but maybe there needed to be a little extra repentance put in there, and maybe some more worship and some praise. And so I'm going to do it this time. I know what I'm going to do. And you just do it and you do it and you do it and you do it. You don't be afraid. Anything you release God from a debt he won't be going home going, yeah, I don't have to do that for them anymore. Yeah, I'm free. I don't have to answer any more prayers for all 2015. Yeah. God is not that. That's not your daddy. That's the elder brother looking incorrectly at a father, thinking he's withholding goats, and the only way you'll get a goat is to do more. It's breaking a bad image up so you can receive a correct image. So let's begin. Write down anything, everything. It's just between you and God. Go ahead, Brian. If you're joining us on the internet, please just grab a piece of paper and do the same. Take a few minutes. We'll connect together, and the Lord's going to let go of things. So anything God owes you, it's a debt. Anything you owe yourself, it's a debt. Anything other people owe you, it's unresolved. What are they? Just writing them down, just identifying them right now. you keep writing, and you might notice that you kind of start off in a general, and then your words get more specific, and they may get more focused, and it's cool. This is part of what God means when he says, to release something, you have to find a word for it. You have to find a name for it. You have to find some way to identify. Don't be afraid of that when you identify something that you're going, yikes, I'd rather not even look at it like that. It's when you can look at it like it is, for what it is, then you can actually let it go. And that's what we're going to do in the next few minutes. We're going to, because it's committed to paper, you may not have got everything on, and you keep writing, and you can keep doing this into these seasons of release can continue on, right? I still have to go finish my closet tomorrow, and it'll probably continue into the following day. But I stepped into a season of disengaging old so that I can put on the new. So we're not trying to finish something, but you initiate something. But at the same time, it's been initiated. So what I want us to do, because forgiveness is not a feeling, it's just, it really literally means to send it out. Let it go. Be like. It's not, I just took all of that and I just went. It's not whatever. I'm not going to go back and try to sort it out. I'm not going to go try to figure it out. I just did it. And that's the prophetic act we're going to step into. So I'm going to ask Brian and Rob to bring out some receptacles, just because we don't need to throw these notes at each other. And last thing you want to do is read mine, and last thing I want to do is read yours. You know, I don't want to borrow your problems. But I do think to God the Father, that's what this is, all it is. It's just nothing. And yet it is burdening our own future, because unless we dump it, why do we enter into the new? Yes, put them down there. Eric asked a really good question just a moment ago. How do I do this and not lose my hope in what God has said to me? That's a really good question. Because you would, if by writing out an experience or an emotion, and I then just said, okay, God, that's it. I let it go. You don't owe me there. You don't owe me the way. Does that mean that whatever God promised, he's saying, all right, great, we're off the hook? No, because what God said, he meant. Whoa, wait. No, we are not recycling any of these. Get this out of here. No recycling, come on. Knew that was wrong. You want to recycle this stuff? No, this is going into the sea of forgetfulness to separate from east to west. This is not following us into the new year. What we are disengaging is our stuff that's accumulated in the journey, not what God has said. But we're disengaging the convoluted emotions that come into that we don't know what it is anymore. So we just say, God, you owe me nothing. Everything that's coming into my life next year is grace. Yeah. Nothing that God owed me. Any miracle, any wonder, I'm not going to say that's because I prayed 20 years. It's grace. By grace I'm saved. That's all grace is a continual being saved by something that Jesus did, not by what I did. So let's get the worship team back up. And when you're ready, what I wanted you to do is just, because we still need to release the prophetic sound, and now it'll come through the blessing really easily. But just come and drop that into the bucket. And afterwards, we'll seal these bags and throw them away, okay? They would burn them, but then we'd set the smoke alarm and the fire department would be here, and we don't want to see that. But let it be permanent. Again, you may revisit any one of these things, but from now on, they're not yours. They're things you disengaged, you released, you signed it off, you decided, I'm not going to collect this, I don't need this resolved, I'm letting it go. You may have to go home and still walk through the process. Yeah. You understand? I wish you could say, I forgive my mortgage. and somehow that got to my bank. No, they're not gonna, that's not going to happen. But I can come off out from under the reproach, the pressure, the shame, the confusion, the anger, the hostility, the da-da-da-da-da-da, and just now keep paying my mortgage, right? You understand? So it's not, it's a disengaging of the junk. Some cases it may happen miraculously, but it doesn't have to be God. Oops, there it went. Somebody help Russell get his junk into that receptacle. All right, so Father, we just ask you, in fact, do that right now. Why don't you just put your hand on somebody next to you and say, Lord God, I ask you to anoint my brother and sister to be released. I give them permission. I don't care what they're carrying or why they're carrying it, what pressure they're under for whatever reason. I command it to no longer carry them. I give them permission to press all the way in and come to Jesus. And everything come off, and everything they're carrying through this year be off of them, that they can be debt-free before God and debt-free in their own eyes and debt-free before mankind. And only owe love from this day forth. In the name of Jesus, I release my brothers. Go ahead. You release your sister. Release. I free you. I give you permission. Go. Go. Let it go. Go ahead. Come on up when you're ready and just release that as an act of faith, a prophetic work. Everything we're carrying, anything that we're trying to work and solve, it's going to the altar tonight. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then just when you come back, just stay standing for that as a sign that we know everybody's been up. Stay standing in your place and let's begin to worship. And then we're going to release the sound of the prophetic. Whoa. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's yours now, God. We give it away. We release this. We release you, Father, from any obligatory prayer that we have forced you into have-tos. We say, God, all we want from you is grace. All we want are promises fulfilled that come by faith. Not by works. We release each other. No more debts, emotional debts. We release families and friends and neighbors and nations. Go ahead, tell the Father, we're free. Into demonstrate by your spirit and power now the power of release and letting go. Say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I receive forgiveness. I give forgiveness. I release you from all debt. You do not owe me for my service. All things are mine, and I am always with you. I release you. You are not my master. You are my husband. So I come into this relationship and let go of the old. I do this for my brothers and sisters. I release everyone from obligations, commitments, and promises that I've made become debt. I forgive all. I release all. I let go. And I forgive myself I let go. I am not going to try to be better tomorrow. I'm going to be loved and love. Pour your love into me where I am. Overwhelm me in love and let love flow from me in all things. In Jesus' name. Now, while the music's just down, I would like to form circles of like three people, four people, and I want you to bless each other. You're blessing each other without any debt, any obligation to make anything work. You're just going to release what's in your heart for them to have. Not, you've worked so hard, I hope you have a better life this next year. None of that. Just let's let things flow. If you are carrying a prophetic sound, come on up here, let me know, and we'll get those released before 9 o'clock. So if you have something that's for the body, come on up. Otherwise, turn around and find like circles of three or four people, each person blessing the group, or the group blessing each person. And let's let some sounds go. You guys can help us with worship, but not too loud so they can hear. Joining us tonight on the internet, with us or a later date, I bless you. I make this a moment to look into your life and bless you. Not because you've worked so hard or suffered so long, but because you're loved by the Father. I bless you because you are in Jesus Christ. And He's not disappointed in you. Looking at what you've done or not done, what you accomplished or weren't able to accomplish. I bless you. With the fulfillment of what the Father dreamed when He saw you in Christ before the foundation of the world. I bless you. Father's dream and heart, passion over you and promise to you. And knowing that those passionate promises that He made to Himself over you have never been interrupted, nor can they be altered, and they are forever to be fulfilled. I bless you with a sense of hope that comes alive again. Hope that doesn't disappoint. Hope that the moment you get up, you get knocked down and taught that you better not get up. I loose that off of you. The hope that knowing that your Father's going to complete what He promised, and you don't have to perform. He's the performer. I bless you with joy and peace. I bless you with an experience that God Himself can give. Fellowship and union and oneness and enjoyment and beauty. I bless you with everything that has ever been unfolded before you to be fresh and new again. That through the testing and the endurance, through the experiences, now would birth new hope. And a hope that would not disappoint, because it's not you, it's Him. It's not what you can do, it's what He did. It's not how hard you worked, it's what He accomplished already. I bless you with love poured into your very heart by Holy Spirit. Love, 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 love that drives out fear, that reflects the very glory of God. Love that suffers long and is kind. Love that does not envy, and love that does not parade itself. It's not puffed up, and it does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. I bless you with God, who is love, pouring himself in you, through you, and to you. Continue in the sound of his voice. If you have finished praying for one another, go ahead and stand up again with me. We've got about 10 minutes that I know there's some things that are percolating. If this is one of the first times you've really been led to drop it, put everything on the altar and let it all go, it can be almost unnerving, because you're kind of going, wow, I feel naked because I've been identified with this dream for so long. To actually lay it down and say, I release you, Father, from having to complete this dream, it just feels weird. But it isn't, it's just you're taking off the old work clothes is what you've taken off. So I want to release right now. I want you to let God give to you right now the sonship anointing, that awareness that you never were here because you were a good worker, and you never were called apart because you were going to be a great servant. You were called to be a son, a daughter, and to be known in an intimate relationship with God, closest that we understand to marriage. I want you to think about and feel or imagine if you were. We are walking into the new year debt free. We have no revival to finish. We have no soul to save. We have no financial miracle to provide. We have no relationship to restore. We have nothing ourselves to do. But we are able to receive all of the manifold facets of salvation, because it's in Christ. We don't carry the burden into the new year, but we can enter into the promise of the new year. Do you follow me? Help me out. Help. Step into there. Mix this with faith. Mix this sound with faith. Now imagine with me then. I'm entering into the new year. When I wake up tomorrow, I'm not going to go to the first regret and nurse it for a breakfast. I'm not going to get up and vow to work harder because I'm so mad at the way I've done last year. I'm going to be nice to myself. I'm going to be kind to my friends and my family because we're free. Because I'm forgiven, I'll forgive everybody. I'm going to not be a worried or a fearful because God's got my life in his hands. I'm prepping you with some ideas that you can step into, because this is a new thing. We can pick up the old. We can go back to the dirty clothes hamper and get the work clothes on and put them back on. But why do that? Let's at least get them washed. Please let them get them washed. Just so I'm waking up. You're waking up. We're in the new year. Let your faith come in. You're in the new year. Just you. You know, there's a reason that in every picture of a year cycle, the new baby comes in, right? Full of hope and expectant and naive and innocent. And then by the time coming in at the last, it's an old man with a beard. And you know, it's because the year works, does a work on you. But in Christ, not only is it a new baby, new year, it's a new you. It's every day. Every day's a new year. every day. Let's come up to the altar together. We've given up, let go, we've released. Go ahead, if you've got a word, release it out. But let's come and we're going to be together and let the sound of heaven now step on us. Go ahead, it's on.
So the word that I felt that the Lord was giving me was a declaration for 2015, and it was about unity. It was from Exodus 17, and it was talking about how Moses, when his hands grew weary, how Hur and Aaron came, and they lifted up his hand and they strengthened him, and that's how they prevailed. So I just declare unity over this church, but not just in this house, but for the churches all over the world, that we would unite, that we would lock arms together, that we would rise to the occasion, and we would prevail over every single obstacle that comes against us, whether it's sickness, disease, pain, affliction in relationships, just destruction and just any type of negative thing that does not come from the Lord. I pray that we would lock arms and rise together and arise in God's love.
Amen. 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 Go ahead, Becky. If you have a declaration, come on up right here.
First, I'll just tell you what I saw. I saw some things being lifted, some just like dark shadows being lifted off people, and I just feel like the Lord is saying, this day I am delivering. Yeah. This day I'm delivering from sadness, of not knowing what the root of the sadness was. This day I'm delivering those things that you held me in, held you, and this day the freedom is being released to my people. I declare and decree that over these people, Lord, that all sadness from even having to write things and having it brought up, Father, I release the sadness of those things, Father God. And in its place, Father God, I thank you for showering great joy, great peace, great hope, great love, great freedom to Jubilee Church in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. Peter. This should be on. If it's green, it's good.
Okay. Arise, shine, for your light has come.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the glory of the Lord has risen upon every one of you.
Yes.
Deep darkness has fallen upon the earth, but it shall not fall upon thee. The Lord says, my favor, my blessing, I am the glory and the lifter of your heads. This year is the breakthrough year. Joshua generations, thy children shall come upon thy knees, and thou shalt see the blessing of God upon thy posterity, upon the generations that go before thee. Your shoes will not wear out. Your garments will not wear out. The Lord's saying a new level of prosperity will come upon the body of Christ that the world will see. And the world will desire to see the blessing of God upon thee. Because you have been called with a new mantle and a new anointing, a new blessing. The wilderness that you have known in the past is ending. And God is bringing you into the land of prosperity. A land of the double portion. Instead of your shame, you will receive that double portion. Instead of humiliation, God will rest upon you a double, double portion. It is a day of release and breakthrough in every area of your life. As you cast your burdens upon Him, it says He will sustain you. That word sustain means He will prosper you in every aspect, in every area of your life. We loose that in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now go ahead and place your hand on, take somebody's hand or hand on a shoulder. But we're going to lock arms just as what was told of us. And when Moses was on that mountain and the war was down there with the Midianites as they were trying to take out the stragglers. And Moses found that every time his hands were held and the staff was up, the rod of God was above, that Joshua prevailed on the valley floor and his arms grew weary. This is one last place. Our help comes from the Lord. So can we all just lift our hands up? And in a fashion, we're supporting one another by lifting ourselves up. And we declare that the victory, the warfare that has existed or continues around us is won in Jesus Christ. And the battles and the Midianites and all of the Amalekites and all those who've come to stop that which God ordained to come forth can and will not find success. As the word of the Lord has gone forth, that it is a day of the light of God shining on the church in the face of Jesus. And we are debt free, so we release. We hold up one another's arms. And just in your own prayer language or your voice, let's raise it for a moment in prayer. I want my brother to win. I want my brother to win. I want my sister to win. I want them to have their victory, the breakthroughs in every area. We're holding one another up, the whole body of the Lord Jesus. No more divisions inside our fears. No more fears yielding our lust. No more competition trying to gain the upper hand. No more trying to get to the water first. Everybody in, forward, victory. The whole body into victory. Everyone into victory. Love is our only debt we owe. We will walk in love because you are our lover. You are our lover. We will love because we are loved. We forgive because we are forgiven. We are victorious because you are the victor. Now just receive from heaven a fresh anointing, a new anointing, a new anointing, a new anointing. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Everybody worship, lift up his voice. Oh, let the visions and the dreams come on. The sound of the voice of God come on. I hear the sound. Jesus Christ, I adore you. Jesus Christ, I adore you. To him. Jesus Christ, I adore you. Jesus Christ, I adore you. Give him the praise. Jesus Christ, I adore you. Oh, Jesus Christ, I adore. Jesus Christ, I receive you. Jesus Christ, I receive you. Jesus Christ, I receive you. Oh, Jesus Christ, I receive you. One more time. Jesus Christ, I receive you. Oh, God. Oh, God, you are so good. I proclaim over you in the name of our Lord Jesus, by the authority that his blood has given and provided, our redemption, our reconciliation, the forgiveness of our sins, our acceptance in the beloved, our place of a conscience void of offense, and a conscience that has been purged from dead works and sprinkled clean, and a body washed with pure water. I declare and over you in the name of Jesus that you are debt free, that you do not owe God, and God does not owe you, that you are no longer servants and slaves, but sons and daughters, and a relationship of intimacy is enjoyed afresh. That God himself bends down and gives a big kiss, and we ourselves receive acceptance and the ability to move into the future debt-free. Debt-free. In Jesus' name. Happy New Year. Prosperous. Free. You're released to go out, but if God's